Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our Gospel reading from John 1. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing over us this day as we meditate on your word. Send us your Holy Spirit to speak and apply that word to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know what it's like to be asked challenging questions about your faith. In fact, I've had conversations with several of you in the last week or so about this very topic. You have friends or you have family or you have colleagues who know you are a Christian or know you're a churchgoer, and so they like to ask you things about that, what you believe, what the Bible teaches, what it doesn't teach, what your position is on different social issues, and this kind of thing. Some of the questions are very genuine, some of the questions are a bit antagonistic, some of the questions are a blend of both of those. How do you go about answering those questions, I wonder? Some of us dread them, getting asked them. Most of us don't think we do a very good job when we do get asked them. One of my fears has always been being at a quiz night where there's a Bible question and everyone turns to the pastor because they expect him to know. Come on, you must know the name of the mother of Jehoshaphat in 2 Kings, surely. No, I don't. And then they look at you like, well, then why did we invite you? What are you here for if you don't know the name of the mother of Jehoshaphat? It's Azubah, by the way. All right, I looked it up just for this sermon. Today you get John the Baptist. And you get these people come to him, priests and Levites from Jerusalem, and they're on a mission. And they're on a mission to quiz him, to challenge him, to question him, to find out a bit about him. They've been sent from the leaders down in Jerusalem. Go up north, find this man John who's up there baptizing and preaching and stirring up a crowd, and find out who he is and what he's up to. So that's their mission. This truth squad, this team of investigative journalists, head up and they need to report back to Jerusalem. The discussion that ensues is very helpful to us on a number of levels. It's helpful in our understanding of who John is and who John isn't. It's helpful in our understanding of who Jesus is and who Jesus isn't. It's helpful in our understanding of who we are and who we are not. And I think it's also helpful in how we approach some of those tricky questions or questioners that we get along the way as Christian people. So today we're going to look at who we're not, who we are, and who Jesus is. Who we're not, who we are, and who Jesus is in light of John's ministry. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, it's on page 726 in the Pew Bibles from John 1:19. I'll just reread a little section. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So three times you get this interaction with John the Baptist, and you get John the Baptist telling the people who he isn't, right? No, three times. No, 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 I am not him. Emphatically, he wants the people to know who he is not. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." I think the first thing every Christian person needs to know is that there is a Messiah and it's not them. All right? There is a Messiah and it's not us. It's not you, it's not me. And that's important for us as Christians to be aware of. You might hear people talk about having a Messiah complex. And I think this is more common than we might think. In fact, perhaps we all exhibit some symptoms of this Messiah complex. We walk around with the weight of the world on our shoulders, the hopes and expectations of people on our shoulders, they weigh us down, and we very readily start to believe that everything depends on us. It's all up to us. I should have all the answers. I should know all the answers. I should be all the answers to people's questions and people's problems. And today John comes along and he says, I am not the Messiah, and you are not the Messiah. And you can't be everything to everyone. And that's the first thing you need to know about yourself. Are you Elijah, then? The people ask John, are you Elijah? And he says, I am not. Now, this is an interesting question because the Bible says that John the Baptist comes in the spirit of Elijah or in the power of Elijah, or Jesus compares John the Baptist to Elijah. But John says, I am not him, right? I'm not identical with him. I am someone different. Then they ask him, well, are you the prophet? And Israel had been waiting for this prophet who would be like Moses, sort of a second Moses, and he would continue the work that Moses started. And they said, well, maybe you're him. Are you him? And John just says, no, simply no, I'm not him. Before we can know who we are, it's very important and very helpful for us to be very clear on who we are not. Who aren't you? Who hasn't God called you to be? Spent some time reflecting on this question for myself this week, hoping it may serve as something of an example in your own reflection. Who am I not? Well, I'm not the Messiah, number one, and I shouldn't try to be. I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet, I'm not the savior of the Lutheran Church, I'm not even that experienced as a pastor of the Lutheran Church. I'm very much still learning. What about in other areas of life? I'm not a handyman. I've learnt that. Changing the light bulb is something of an accomplishment for me. I'm really proud of myself when I change a light bulb. I'm not that handy. I'm not a singer. My grandfather was a really good singer. Some of you knew him. My father is a very good singer. Some of you know him. Even my brother can hold a note. Don't tell him I said that. He'll get real proud. But he can hold a note. Me, I'm not much of a singer. I'm not a social worker. And I'm not a counsellor. And I'm not a doctor. And I need to be very clear on that when people come to me and want to talk about things, that I need help and sometimes they need different help than I can give. And I need to know how to help them find that help. I'm not great at prayer. I was talking to one of you about this before the service. I just don't think it's one of my gifts. That's not an excuse not to pray, but I find it hard, and the discipline of prayer I find hard. It's not my strong suit. I'm not great at prayer. There are lots of other things too that are not me, or I'm not that great at. Now, before you come and pat me on the shoulder and say, it's okay, Pastor Ben, your singing's not that bad, or whatever you're going to say, don't do that, because that's not my point. I want to help you reflect as well on who you aren't, who you are not. And it's not so that you can just give up trying at those things. That's not the point either. But the point is so that, like John the Baptist, you can have clarity and a definite knowledge in your head of who you are by firstly knowing who you aren't, who God hasn't called you to be. It's important that we know this, firstly, to get the relief of knowing you don't have to be everything to everyone. You can't be everything to everyone. And that's important for us to realize. That means you probably can't answer every person's question who comes to you with a difficult question. You can try, but you can't be everything to everyone, and you can't know everything that everyone expects you to know. So, who John isn't and who we aren't. What about who John is and who we therefore can, you know, learn about ourselves, who we are? Verse 22. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? So like a good team of investigative journalists, right, they're not going to stop. They want to keep asking. They want to know. They want to get something positive that they can report back to Jerusalem. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John is not nothing, right? John is something. John is not the point, but John is the pointer to the point. Okay, so John has an important role to play. And his role is making his path straight, making Jesus' path straight. In other words, it's laying some groundwork tilling the soil, right, getting the road ready for the coming of his Lord, straightening the way. And the way John did that is by being straight with people, right? Being very open and direct with people about their lives and their faith, so that when God arrived on the scene, the way to people's hearts and minds was all the more straight and open and honest and ready because of the work John had done. That was who John was. Now, who are we? Because we're not identical to John. We don't have the exact same calling as John, but we do have a very similar one to John. We're called to witness. We're called to be up front with people about our Lord and about our faith. We're called to confess what we believe, like John did, and what we don't believe as well. We're called to be immersed in God, immersed in his word, immersed in his will, so that we know what it is. And when people come to us with their questions, we have that foundation at least to work from. We're not called to be the voice, but at least a voice preparing God's way on earth. Now, what was unique about John was the time and place and way he did that. And you might have noted the little geographical verse at the end of the text where it says this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the River Jordan. Now, that's important. And often we sort of read over those details in the text. Why is it important? Because that's where John was called. That's where he did his work. But that doesn't mean that's where you're called, right? And that's where you're to do your work. You have your own location, your own place, your own people that you're called to serve. We sometimes call them stations or vocations or locations that we're in and that we're called to serve God in. So, who are you? Who has God called you to be? Well, like the first question, I thought I'd have a go at answering that for myself as some kind of an example to you, but of course your answers will be a bit different than mine. Who am I? I'm a baptized child of God. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a son. And I'm a brother. I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher, among other things. I'm a citizen of our country. I'm a citizen of Australia. I'm not a dual citizen, so I can't run for politics, unfortunately. But I'm a resident of Mount Barker, all right? So I live here. That has ramifications for my life and for what I'm called to be and to do. Enough about me. What about you? Who are you? Who has God made you to be? Who has he created you to be, baptized you to be, redeemed you to be, positioned you to be in this place and this time? You know, it's possible for us to think too much of ourselves, and the Bible really cautions against that, but it's also possible for us to think too little of ourselves. You know, I hear our text today saying, you are somebody, right? And your life matters to God, and you have a calling from God, and you have things, you know, that God wants you to do. Your life has purpose. It has meaning. Most likely, it has meaning to far more people than you realize as well. You are not nobody. You are somebody. You are not the Messiah, but you do belong to the Messiah, and that means something for your life. C.S. Lewis used to pray, Lord, show me just so much, neither more nor less, about myself as I need for doing your will now. Lord, show me so much, neither more nor less, about myself as I need for doing your will now. It's a helpful prayer. Now, ultimately, John won't leave us self-reflecting, navel-gazing, internally fascinated, sort of for too long. All right, he wants us to reflect on this question of who we are, but not for too long. Because really, John's ministry and his mission is to direct us away from himself and away from ourselves to someone who is other than us, who is outside of us, our Lord, who knows us, of course, even better than we know ourselves. When questioned as to why he was baptizing, in verse 24 this is, John responds, I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. I am not worthy to untie. Note, this is John's final self-definition in our text, right? It's the last thing he says about himself in our text. I am not worthy. In light of Christ, right? In light of the one who's coming after him, in light of the one he serves, in light of the one he's trying to direct our attention to, I am not worthy. That's the final note he gives us on who he is. He's not worthy, he says, to untie the thongs of someone's sandals. Now, this was like the lowest, most degrading task in those days. It wasn't even given to a Jewish slave in the household. If you had a non-Jewish slave in the household, they would be the one to get that task. So it's just the lowest thing that John can think of. And he says, I'm not even worthy of that when it comes to my Lord. Among you stands one who you do not know, says John. And he says it as though Jesus was standing there, which he may well have been, in the crowd, standing right there with the people listening to John. And John says, there is someone standing here who you don't yet know. Someone standing here who you don't yet know. It's in getting to know this one who was standing there and still stands here among us that we learn, firstly, how unworthy we are, on one hand, but secondly, how worthy he has made us, on the other hand. And both are important for us to know. One commentator writes, it is those overwhelmed with Christ who are undergirded by Christ. It is those who sense their unworthiness who are exactly those credited with his worthiness. You hear what he's saying? It's when we start to recognize what John the Baptist recognized, that he wasn't worthy of Christ. He wasn't even worthy to serve Christ. And this commentator says, that's the point. And that's the moment when God says, but you are. You are worthy on account of Christ. Through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord, he takes on himself who we are, even the worst bits of who we are, and he leaves us with who he is. Right? So we have this new baptismal, grace-filled, merciful identity as children of the Heavenly Father. Today, Jesus says to us that where two or three of us gather, there he is. Right? He stands among us still. He stands in our midst still. We are not the Messiah. We are not the Messiah, but we have him right here with us every step of the way in our lives. So when people come to you with their questions, even their really difficult questions, even maybe the questions you dread, praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord that they ask those things. Praise the Lord that they've come to you for an answer. It's a God-given opportunity. You won't respond perfectly, right? But you can respond faithfully. You can give the defense that you have, whatever you have, for the hope that is inside you. The important thing is simply to remember who you're not, who you are, and who Jesus is, who you serve, and who serves you, and who you belong to. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for John. We thank you for his clarity in knowing who he was and who he wasn't and who your Son is. Remind us of this as well in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.